WFSU-FM now presents A Visit to the Village Square. This is a delayed broadcast of the Our Town Community Forum at St. John's Episcopal Church in Tallahassee on May 7th, 2015.
So, I'm Village Square Executive Director Liz Joyner, and we'd like to welcome you to Our Town Fast Forward, all about the newest, coolest, greatest things in town. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Gunster, Florida Law Firm for Business, and Leon County for making tonight's program possible. We also want to thank our program partners, KCCI, Mike and Betsy are here somewhere, Leadership Tallahassee, Barbara Boone, LT grads are all around the room, staffing, all the things that are happening. We wouldn't know what to do without them. And the Tallahassee Democrat, who is here in force covering the program tonight. Actually, there's going to be two featured presentations. One is Fast Forward Frenchtown, and the other is The Green and the Gray, all about ecotourism, green spaces, trails, development, etc. Those are going to be slower, like normal speed, and we'll have Q&A after both of those little featured presentations. But after the fast ones, we're going to ask you to hold the questions until the end of the program. So, Pachachka.
So this is what it's going to look like. You're going to try it.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. And it's actually, despite what Gary says about what it means, it is Japanese for chit-chat. It was actually invented by architects in Japan who decided that the presentations went way too long. So they came up with this format, and what happens is that the slides for our presenters actually advance automatically after 20 seconds, whether they're ready, whether they're not. So it's kind of part civics, part sporting event. It's very hard to do.
Our promise to you is that you're out of here by 7:30. So, I mean, if you've got plans later, you're going to make them. It's all going to work out.
We promise. And so because we're asking all these nice people to do Pachachka presentations about what's new and cool in town, we figured we'd try one. I'd try one.
All right. What's yours? What are you going to do?
Mine is about what's new at the Village Square, but it's like super fast. And this is all about Pachachka. It's Pachachka 2020, and actually there are Pachachka organizations all over the world. It's really actually pretty cool. So we are not an official Pachachka organization, but I want to tell you about what's new at the Village Square. We are launching a Village Square in Salt Lake City. Yay.
Faster.
Well, but you know what? I actually don't have anything else to say about this, and
the
slide is still up, so what am I going to do about that? Tell me about, have you been to Salt Lake City, Gary?
I have been to Salt Lake City.
So the good news about that, is that I get to go and see those beautiful mountains.
Stop, you're on to the next one. Maybe. Go.
And then next fall, we're having a program, our first fundraiser, Founding Ideals, a conversation with President Thomas Jefferson. And it's actually Clay Jenkinson, who is the gentleman who has the podcast, The Thomas Jefferson Hour, if you've ever heard it. It's really cool and
I'm
getting cluer. And apparently
moving.
My
go,
time
go.
Is up, so... I think I'll sit down.
That was it? Two slides?
Yeah, that was it. Yep.
Good program. That's all really.
See, I went really
awesome.
Short.
Well, okay, that's how it's going to work. It's going to be pretty quick. There's literally no chance that the people who will be making the presentations will do them properly. So, I mean, it's just about us all stumbling through this together, which kind of gives them the out, and we'll work our way through it. But 20 seconds... is real fast. And so we're going to get going. Is that okay? May as well, yeah. Our first presenter is Donnie Barstow. He's president of MCCI, the first business feature made in Tallahassee initiative. He's going to talk about how growth is being fostered by local businesses. And this is very cool stuff. And this is about kind of growing our own. Well, that's not exactly it. But although there will be brownies served at the end of the meeting. But for now, Donnie, you want to come up and get started? All right, it's all yours.
Okay, so the title was Taking Tallahassee Global, with a focus on Made in Tallahassee. Made in Tallahassee is a campaign being put on by the EDC, and the businesses have to be operating for 3+ years, and the products going nationally or globally, and they also be locally founded. So I'm going to feature the first three. There's only been three that have been presented so far. I'm the president of MCCI. We were the first one. We expect to double our growth in the next 5 years. We've done that in the last 3 years. And we also are the largest provider in the country of what we do. My wife asked me what I did when we first met her. I finally had to just tell her we scan documents because that's what you could understand. We also are the These are some of our local customers that you may recognize down at the bottom here, but we have 700 clients nationwide and quite a few businesses right here in Tallahassee, but nobody really knows we're here. So the Made in Tallahassee campaign is really great for companies that don't get a whole lot of exposure, and it's a good job that the EDC is doing. We're also a subsidiary of MuniCode. Not many people know MuniCode is here. MuniCode is a 150-200-person company out there by the airport, and they're the largest codifier in the country, and we evolved from that company. So there are other businesses in Tallahassee that are creating businesses within themselves. So we're an example of that. Another feature business was Syntec. Syntec's been here since 1989, and they've been manufacturing everything that they do right here in Tallahassee. They're a very large company with a lot of federal contracts, state contracts, and they do fleet management, and they work with school systems and all kinds of organizations. TurboCore is a big win for Tallahassee. TurboCore, I believe, came from Canada. City of Tallahassee had a big play in bringing them to Tallahassee. Big manufacturing job tied in a little bit with the Mag Lab, and they make oil-free compressors for commercial refrigeration. So these are a lot of the companies you may not know about that have been featured in Made in Tallahassee. And the campaign is going to go on 18 more months, and the contact is Ben Pingree with the EDC. So it's a great campaign. It's great that they're getting the word out about all the businesses that are doing great things here and at a national level. All right. I also asked the Chamber. I'm on the board of the Chamber here, and I asked them to give us a few companies that are new to the Chamber. They might not be necessarily new to here, but in the last year, they've joined the Chamber, and they were just interesting companies. Not many people may know that they're here. Achieve Mobility is one of those that focuses on handicap-accessible vehicles and fitting those vehicles and whatnot, and they're right here off of Capitol Circle. Atlas Fit. There's a lot of fitness companies popping up everywhere. Atlas Fit's a really cool one off of Gaines Street, in the Gaines Street area. They really help people get prepared for Tough Mudder, all those trendy type athletic events that you're seeing, and they're right here. Mobile apps. They also do meal planning, et cetera. So, Gramlings. Who knows what Gramlings is? Yeah. Well, I can tell you I had no idea. They focus on vegetable gardeners. That's what their website says. So it's really unique. They've been here over 100 years. They just celebrated their 100-year anniversary, so it's great that they're marketing themselves more. BSC America, they are an auction house for car auctions, and they're a national company with a location here in Tallahassee. They are not the Ron White Ultimate Image Auto guy that you see on TV. He's the best marketer ever, but they are near him by the flea market. And then Vail Food Company is a really cool company. I got to have some of their food at a Chamber board meeting the other day. All natural stuff. They can cater office events, any kind of party, and they also serve meals. They have just really good quality food, good healthy food. And I believe that a lot of them are graduates of FSU and stayed around, I believe. I'm not sure, but really good guys. Vosells, this is a newer business. It's a bridal shop. You probably pass it under the wine loft. Favorite one for me to plug because it's my wife's business. I know way too much about wedding dresses now. But what's unique to them is that more than 30% of their customers come from outside of Tallahassee. So I think I did a pretty good job.
And that's how this night is going to go. I mean, you're really going to find out some pretty cool stuff about what's going on in our community and have a chance to engage with these folks. And because of that, we're going to be able to run through a lot. What the folks at KCCI are doing is remarkable in our community because it's showing itself in so many different places. When Mike Pate with Knight Foundation kind of started KCCI, it changed the landscape of who and where we are as a community because each individual project is doing something different in another place in our community. And there are these incredibly creative projects that are being promulgated by the people who are graduating and in KCCI. So they're really doing some very special things. Rick Miner's here. Rick, he's available. He was just Charlie Crist's chief of staff for the campaign. So how'd that go? Good. Yeah, good. Rick is here and ready to go. And they've got a KCCI project that is incredibly cool. In fact, the two musicians you saw is just one part of what it is they're doing. So, Rick, come tell us about it.
How y'all doing today? My name is Rick Miner. I'm here tonight to talk about Tallahassee Music Week, which is a KCCI project that was created and executed by a team of community catalysts recruited by KCCI. TMW, Tallahassee Music Week, took place last month from April 3rd to the 12th, and was a 10-day celebration of our city's musical talent. We had more than 100 musical performances in more than 50 locations throughout Tallahassee. Our goal has been to celebrate musical diversity, promote our local talent, strengthen the local economy, all while listening to some really great music. Now, for planning purposes, we divided our performances into three tiers. The first tier was our large venues hosted by other organizations like Diana Krall at Opening Nights, the Avett Brothers by Word of South at Cascades Park. Our mid-sized venues took place in restaurants, clubs, nightclubs, and bars. And then our non-traditional venues were in the places that you wouldn't normally expect music to be performed. Publix, Star Metro, CK Steel Plaza, and places like that. We really wanted, with that third tier, to bring music to where people go about their day. You know, a lot of people out there don't necessarily have time to go to a concert or to a bar to hear a band, so we wanted to bring music to where people were. Bond Community Health Center, Publix, Whole Foods, Tallahassee Nurseries. We really thought we had an opportunity to expose people to music that they haven't heard in a while. Our performance schedule took place on April 3rd. Our launch took place on April 3rd at Railroad Square at First Friday. Wide diversity of music from 12 different performances around the park. Chinese Zheng music, jazz, blues, the boys choir at Tallahassee. A lot of diversity in that one small area for that evening. It's a really great night. The rest of that week, we focused on, during the days, bringing soloists and small ensembles to places in those non-traditional venues. And then at night, focused on the nightclubs and restaurants and bars. And then we had a cross-promotional partnership with Word of South, which allowed us to advertise Word of South as our finale, even though it was an independent event. The results were great. The community buzz around town was amazing. We actually had Tallahassee Music Week groupies that would bring their lawn chairs and follow us from one event to another. We had scores of Tallahasseans tell us that they would check out the schedule on the website and plan out their whole week. And we also had folks from Georgia and other counties driving to Tallahassee to check out what we had going on. Here's some feedback from our musicians. At first, I didn't think our musicians would really support it because we weren't paying them much, and we were asking them to perform in some pretty unusual venues. But they supported it because they understood what we were trying to do, promote them and to help increase over time the number of venues in which they perform. A great thing for our success, from our standpoint, though, was actually seeing the public enjoy what we were doing. We would, time and time again, people would stumble across a performance, and you could see this confused look on their face, and then once they understood what we were doing, that would turn into a smile. And I've worked on a lot of projects, but I'd never worked on a project that had that much great positive feedback from the people that were benefiting from it. At the Bloxham Park, for example, Sarah Mac Band came. We had people walk by the park, not knowing what was going on, sit down and enjoy their lunch hour from music from Sarah Mac Band. Absolutely incredible. Now, why was this successful? We did a couple things, a number of things right that I think really determined our success. Our booking performances, we had our large venues and our organizations that were working with us promote the large acts, as well as many of our restaurants and clubs were booking things for us for Tallahassee Music Week. Our TMW team focused mainly on the non-traditional venues. We paid a small stipend of $25 for each musician. It wasn't as much as they deserved, but it helped us get the word out in some of those unusual places. We also had an advisory team that was critical. COCA, for example, gave us some really good advice on stipends, and our local musicians helped to reach out to the other musicians' community. They didn't know us, so they helped us establish credibility with local musicians. We also had advice to venue managers, helping to match the right musician with the right venue. Promotion was key. We had a very limited budget of only $10,000 for promotion, but yet we stretched every dollar. We had paid ads and through social media on Facebook and Google. We had a TV public service announcement, and the Tallahassee Democrat helped us out immensely with ads and exposure. Everything directed to our website where our schedule was. Our social media stats, given our budget, our limited budget, were terrific. We had almost 85,000 ad impressions on Facebook, which led to over 3,000 clicks to our website. Google, 340 ads, which led to 300 clicks. And then on our Facebook page, we have almost 1,000 likes. So hopefully we can get 7 more likes to get 1,000 a night. Our website is a great indicator of our success because we were driving everybody to our website to see our schedule. Almost 8,000 individual users visit our website, viewing almost 25,000 web pages. Great, great results for such a limited budget. Really, though, the key to our success was collaboration. We had great collaborators. KCCI gathered us and recruited us, and we came up with the idea because of them getting us together. Opening nights scheduled booked acts for us during Tallahassee Music Week. Local musicians helped build credibility with other musicians. Foundation for Leon County Schools is our fiscal agent. Word of South allowed us to promote Word of South as our finale. Tallahassee Democrat was great on our ads. City Tallahassee Democrat hosted some of our events. Evolution Media produced our TV ad. COCA was incredible in steering us along the right path and giving us great advice and helping us promote it through social media. Now, why was this so effective? Why were we able to collaborate so well? And I think one of the key reasons was the idea was really cool. We had a very innovative idea that benefited a lot of different stakeholders. Musicians, venues, schools, downtown, different organizations all had a vested interest in making sure this is successful. We had a great team of diverse people with a good set of skills. And then, of course, like I said, our sponsors and our partners. Without these people, we would not have been successful. One of the great things about Tallahassee is that we've got a community here that will latch on to a great idea that's fun, that has a good cause, and they will see it through fruition. So a lot of credit to making the stakeholders and the organizations in Tallahassee to make Tallahassee successful, to TMW successful. So successful that we want to do it again next year. If you want to serve as a sponsor or get involved as a volunteer, contact either myself or our treasurer, Kyle Phelps. Thank you very much. Look forward to any questions later on.
Okay, and now in our evolving format, now we're going to have a little bit longer program with a couple of folks on to come up on the stage. So, Jim and Roxanne, why don't you come up while I introduce you? Roxanne Manning of the Tallahassee Community Redevelopment Agency, what we know as the CRA. What a remarkable job they do downtown. And Jim Bellamy is the chair of the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. Not a lot of slides in this one, but we hope the kind of information that will help you folks understand the really amazing things that are happening there. Now, I'm going to join them on stage. We're just going to chat a little bit. Do we want to take questions here, or do we want to wait? Can we take questions here?
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, at the end. All right, so I'm sorry, please, no questions now, no matter how burning they are. So.
How you doing?
Okay, where do you want to start? I mean, you know, Jim, the progress you're making down there in these critical issues are kind of really changing the face. I'm sorry?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How's that? Well, I'm kind of new at this. What I was asking Jim was that this sort of changing face of Frenchtown as more and more positive infrastructure is going there and things are really beginning to change. From your perspective, give us a snapshot of where we are today.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I think we're right at the pinnacle of really getting something done in Frenchtown, really making some changes. I think that as we get more and more residents involved because they know what they want and need, and with the help of the city and other private sources, people like KCCI, we'll be able to really make a difference in Frenchtown. I always say that I got a bias just like everybody else. I want my community to be just like every other community or better. And that's where we are at this point. We got more people involved, and we really, really, the market has really helped us a lot and has really given us a heads up on where we could go in our neighborhood.
Rox, you're here to talk about like three primary issues.
Right.
Go.
And in general, what the CRA is.
Mm-hmm.
Go?
Go.
Oh, yes. Hi. I'm Roxanne Manning.
You're still on the clock, Rox.
We still have
a
clock?
Yeah,
we
go.
Have parentheses around.
We got
we
a bell.
We have brackets on the thing. Okay. I'm Roxanne Manning. I'm the executive director of the Community Redevelopment Agency. And for those of you who don't know what we are, what we do, essentially we are developers who invest in the community. We try to target areas that are blighted. We have three primary areas. We have a Frenchtown area coupled with a South Side and a downtown area. You've seen a lot of our investments around, even though you might not know. Gain Street was one of our major projects. The Walgreens over on Tennessee, another major project. A lot of the new housing that's going in, also a CRA project. We invest in projects that essentially remove areas that are blighted and provide services and quality the community might not ordinarily have. We try to hit projects at all levels, everything from access to food, which we'll talk about, to housing and even crime. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about three things that we're involved in. And sort of in keeping with the theme tonight, every one of these projects is a very solid partnership with a group from the community. Maybe not. In two of our areas, the South Side and Frenchtown, access to food is a serious issue. And it's not just any food. We're looking for good quality food. One of the things we realized is working with KCCI, and Jim will talk about this, there was already an ongoing market, a farmer's market, that occurred, I think, every week, and it's been going on for several years. We wanted to make this sort of a permanent fixture in the community. And so in order to partner with KCCI and make this really work, they came to us. And what we came up with was a permanent location, which we basically closed on yesterday. The CRA is buying the building. We'll be providing some extra parking. We'll be providing a commercial kitchen. But Frenchtown will have a permanent farmers market at the corner of MLK and Georgia. And we encourage... We encourage everybody to go by and buy things, buy a lot of things. There's a card over on the table that'll give you more information about it. Also, we will hope to do the same thing on Southside. We're already looking at some locations. These usually take a while, but it's something we're very excited about. We hope to make a real difference in the community. There will be a commercial kitchen there. So we have some folks who, we have beekeepers and people who make candy and people who make jelly. They'll be able to make those in such a way that then they'll be able to market them. And there may be some other community services that we'll be providing in that building. Jim, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, before you go on to the others, when I was talking to Jim earlier in the week about this new opportunity for healthy products to be right there in the community, I mean, I wish you could have heard him on the phone. I mean, he was like a 9-year-old telling me about it. It was just great. So, Jim, kind of share with me the sort of realization of that dream.
Right. Well, in 2011, we were in a meeting with the CRA people, and Michael Parker said, well, why don't y'all start a market? So we kind of remembered that in the 2000 plan, we had discussed, after taking a survey in the community, a recommendation for a marketplace. So, okay. So, oh boy, I'm going to blow them out of here now. But anyway, what happened was that, stop me, I'm an old man, you know. But anyway, what happened was that Mike said, why don't y'all start a marketplace? We'll give y'all some money to do that. So when he said that, I said, okay, we'll do it. A light went on in my head. I don't know what I was thinking. I said, okay, we'll do it. I had no idea what I was going to do, to tell y'all the truth. I started thinking. I said, now, how do we do this? How do we set it up and all this kind of stuff? So what happened was one of the volunteers sent me a picture, and she had all these tents with, you know, food lined up and everything in like a marketplace. I said, that's a good idea, but where did I get the tents from? So what I did was talked to a few people. They told me, get your pop-up tents and that kind of stuff. So I went out and got the pop-up tents. We bought the pop-up tents, and then we got involved with the COPE program, Childhood Obesity Prevention Education Program, and they gave us some funding, and we could buy. I had bought I don't know how many tents over and over because we had, first we tore them up because we were trying to put them up and put them down. And then we learned how to do that, and then the wind came along, and they were tearing them up for us. So we really didn't know where to go with it at that point. But anyway, we kept buying tents and stuff, so finally Roxanne and them told me I couldn't buy no more tents. So I'm stuck. So I said, okay, fine. But then Cope said you can still buy them, so I bought them from over there. We got us a PA system. We bought other things that could help our market go. We looked at it from the standpoint of, number one was there was not anywhere in our neighborhood where you could buy fresh fruits and vegetables. At that particular time, the parts of Frenchtown is considered a food desert, which means that they don't have a market or any place where you can buy fresh fruits and vegetables. So what we did was we also realized that people didn't have transportation. So what we did was we went on and started the market. Well, when I started the market, I had three vendors, and I might sit out there all day on Saturday and have 10 people to come by. So what I did then was I said, okay, fine. What I'll do is I'll see if we can get a SNAP program. Well, after going 2 years dealing with the federal government to get a SNAP program, I finally got a permit for that. We also got, and I mean, I won't go through, you talk to me privately, I can tell you what I went through to get that. But anyway, after that, we also got involved with Florida Organic Growers, and we have an incentive program. We can match any SNAP participants' benefits up to $20. If they spend $20, we can give them $20. That money is paid for by the Florida Organic Growers, and we're very appreciative to KCCI and to the CRA for helping us get this permanent marketplace. And what we envision is something that will provide fresh fruits and vegetables. We have, I wanted to bring you some slides, but I kind of challenged with the computer thing. I wasn't sure I had them, but I got them anyway. But we can look at that.
But we thought
day.
You might bring some fruit.
Yeah, I might have bought some fruit too, but fruit, you got to pay for that. Yeah. But anyway, we now realize that it can be a vehicle for economic development in our community, can create some jobs for some people, and we can also give healthy food and stuff for people. And I'm telling you, you know, it's been really exciting to me. I got a lot of folks that have come in to help us, and we want to take it to another level now. We're looking for sponsors. If anybody's interested in sponsors, see Anthony Gatto.
All right, Rox, you want to tell us about, you had a couple other programs you wanted to get to.
So if any of you, and I'm sure most of you, have driven through Frenchtown, and it's fairly noticeable that there was a very high number of homeless people there. When you do projects like this, one of the things you try to do is do it in a way that helps everybody concerned. And we were hearing a lot of information from the people who live in Frenchtown about how difficult it is to run a business, to live there and be comfortable with the high number of homeless. But we also knew, on the other hand, that the homeless population was not really getting the kind of service that they needed, because the existing facility, even though it had been expanded, simply wasn't capable of providing the daytime services that they needed. So they were out in the neighborhood, and it was just a very difficult situation. The CRA had the opportunity to purchase the site that the homeless shelter is on. And then there was another entire group of people, the board of the shelter, Rick Kearney, and some other people who got the funding and the facility to build a brand new, very large homeless shelter that is absolutely world class. If you haven't been through it, it's amazing. And it's over off Pensacola. And what that did was it gave the homeless community the services that they needed, and then it basically freed up the site that is at Tennessee and Macomb Street, sort of the entry to Frenchtown, for new redevelopment. The CRA will be taking possession of that site, and we'll be working with local people, possibly a local developer, to put some kind of use on the site that creates an entry to Frenchtown. We're very interested in doing it in a way that complements the neighborhood, that supports the history of the area, too, because Frenchtown, if you have not learned about the history, it has a very deep and a very interesting history that covers music and culture. It's a really cool place. We'd like to emphasize that. So that's another project that we're able to do. That will probably take about 2 to 3 years. The next thing you'll see is the shelter buildings coming down. We'll be cleaning up that site. And in about 6 months, we'll be working on an RFP or issuing an RFP to look for a development partner.
So we don't know what that is yet. We just know it's coming.
We know it's coming. We know some of the major characteristics. It won't, you know, it's not going to be a gas station. We're not going to do a totally market-based approach, because if we did, it would be something like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. There is no way that we would do that. We'd like to do something that's good quality, supports the neighborhood, something that people can be proud of.
You want
to? Yeah, and we've been participating in the development of the programs for the homeless when Mayor Marks put together the program, where we did a lot of study. And basically what they have out there now is as a result of what we were doing back at that particular time.
Which is significant. And I think y'all have probably followed the remarkable new Kearney facility and what an impact it's had on the community. Rox, you had one more?
One more. And two, they've already opened the new shelters, so it's worth driving through Frenchtown now. It's a significant difference already.
Yeah, it is.
Crime. We have crime issues everywhere, and I think the last couple of years, the sort of the level and increase in gun violence has taken us by surprise. So the city put together a council on gun violence, and they've done a tremendous amount of work over the past, say, 10 months. This is new for the CRA. We usually don't support programs. We don't get involved in crime prevention. But the program that the Council on Gun Violence is going to be promoting is called Cure Violence. If you have not looked it up, Google it. It's a successful program that's already been implemented in several communities, including New Orleans, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, where they had significant levels of gun violence. Basically, the approach here is to hire people who are called interveners, people who have already been convicted, already served their time, and turned their life around. They go out into the community on a permanent basis, and they work with the young people in the community who are most at risk for future violations or, you know, gun violence issues, gang-related crime is also something that they try to intervene in at sort of a grassroots level. The thing we know is you can't really pay to police your way out of an issue like this, but if you intervene at, you know, a basic level, you can keep people out of jail in the first place. This is one of the programs that we'll be promoting probably in the coming year. It's a new approach for us, and again, it's another partnership that the CRA would like to work on. This will affect Frenchtown and Southside as well as the downtown, and we're looking forward to some good results. And that's it. I think we'd be happy to take any questions. Or
you guys have any questions right now? I mean, we can, if you want to fire one. Yeah, yes, ma'am. You want to, if you could stand up, and we're going to bring a microphone to you. There you go.
Hi.
Hey, way to go, Doc.
I have a question.
Thanks.
About the Frenchtown Market. Are you working with iGrow? I went to Dunn and Dent Streets to the iGrow farm and thought
iGrow,
that was terrific.
iGrow is one of our vendors. They're there, and you're talking about fresh. What happens there is that a lot of times they come to the market, they sell out, and they go right back around the corner to the garden and get some more stuff and come back and sell that. Yes, we are working with iGrow. iGrow was one of the original partners. It wasn't iGrow, but Tallahassee Food Network was one of our original partners. When we started the market, Nathan was very helpful.
Any other questions? Yes, sir. Dr. Rainey, is you got a mic over there? Maybe we can do a quick checkup too, Doc? By the way, before we do that, I just want to say that on the CRA, the members of the CRA are your city and county commissioners. Commissioner Miller's here. Thank you for being here. Commissioner Deloge, I see in the back. Thank you guys for being here. That's your CRA. Those are the folks who are making these decisions. Yes, sir.
I love what you're doing over at Frenchtown. I mostly am over there to go to FSU, and I bicycle around Frenchtown sometimes. But Tennessee Street, until that's made safer, is there any plans to slow it down and make it safer? Because a lot of people that live there probably don't drive cars a lot, and the students. So I just see that Tennessee Street's a big, big block to making that a nicer area.
Actually, some of the people who can best answer that are here and might be able to get to that in another presentation, but the answer is yes, there are some changes that will be coming. I know the planning department did a very detailed study several years ago, but Tennessee Street is a state road, so the FDOT has jurisdiction over what happens and what doesn't happen on that street.
But it is just being a little, a little bit later on in the program, we're going to have some serious folks from the planning department and other areas, and we'll make it a point to bring that question up. Any other questions for? Yes, sir. Somebody in the back? I see a hand. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it. I really love the idea of creating a community market and having healthier foods in that area. What other ways are you kind of promoting that, like providing any type of buildings for restaurants or any type of food trucks or any type of community in that sense?
Well, what I've seen in most of the markets around the country where I've been, I've been looking at them in different places, is that there's also an attempt to have cooked food at the market. And oftentimes that's a draw. I was at the market in Atlanta, and it's located downtown near Georgia State and a hospital. And I was down there at the Curb Market one day, and it was like lunchtime, and I noticed a lot of people coming in and out, and that's like a draw to get people there. So we're looking for those kinds of businesses to come in and complement what we're doing at the market. Hopefully also, you know, have things like cheese and other products that will be available for people in the community.
Also, just to add to that, one of the things we realized is that a lot of the younger people today don't know how to cook some of the fresh vegetables that we'll have available.
I forgot to mention
Lack of grandmothers, I don't know. Yeah. But one of the things that we want to do is have classes or at least have information available so that if you buy the tomatoes, you know what to do with them. So that's
And one of the things that we have incorporated in our market is that we have people come and do cooking demonstrations. Right now we got the Extension coming and a group from FAMU coming. We got twice a month so that we are able to do cooking demonstrations, because Roxanne is absolutely correct. A lot of those people come to the market and look at stuff and say, I have no idea what to do with it. And that's because, you know, it's a different generation. Do my generation, I learned how to cook, wash, iron, and soap. But these kids don't do that anymore.
Okay, we got time for one more question, and then we're moving on. Yes, right there.
Hi. Just wondering if there's been any consideration given to a grocery store of some sort, maybe in the Macomb, Tennessee area.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Chain
yeah.
or local or employee-owned, like the food giant down in Woodville?
There, I was at the CRA meeting, I guess about a week or two ago, and they're proposing to put a grocery store in on Gaines Street, Publix in Gaines Street. We have often looked at the possibilities of a grocery store in the neighborhood too, but we could use it really. And with the group, I think we'll eventually get one, Commissioner.
Okay, you guys are dismissed. Thanks. All right, thank you. But don't leave, because we're going to drag you up here later. Lucas, you coming up? This is Lucas Lindsay. They are doing at Domi some of the coolest things, but it's all about incubation, and it's about giving entrepreneurs a chance to move forward. And if you haven't seen what's happening at Domi, really take the time to find out. But Lucas, kind of take us through it.
Thank you, Gary. I work every day down by the railroad. And every single day, I hear the train go by. It rumbles, and it's loud. And I will tell you that it hardly even slows down as it goes on to a larger market and just passes us by. So I work every day to help put Tallahassee on the map and work every day to give that train a reason to stop. And how are we doing that? We're doing that through working with entrepreneurs and empowering entrepreneurs. And mainly, and short and sweet, we give entrepreneurs a home, we give them a place to come together, and we provide a number of different programs and events that facilitate that. And why does that matter? It matters because a lot of young companies need talented people. They need people who can wear many hats, dynamic and creative people who aren't afraid to take on challenges. And so many of the startups that we are working with need those sorts of folks day in and day out, and we want to create a place that brings those people together and brings that to bear. So there's two ways that we create that place. The first is by building community. And we do that through a number of events, many of them social, networking, happy hours, really easy ways to bring people together and get people to meet folks that they would not have otherwise met in the daily course of their lives. The second way is education. We have a few different programs that we offer. Like next week, we're starting a 10-week course, both for entrepreneurs and for existing businesses looking to explore new verticals. We offer a weekly pitch event that brings people together for coffee on Wednesday mornings, and then the company will pitch to the community. And those sorts of things teach people through workshops and education how to be a better entrepreneur. The reason that really matters, the why of why we're doing it, is not just for those companies and not just for those entrepreneurs, but for the city as a whole. Cities and the economies of cities in the future is going to rely less and less on the location decisions of large-scale corporations, but more and more on the location decisions of talented people like you, and deciding to live in communities that are interesting, that are vibrant, places that they want to start a business. This right here is the story of our community. It's a story of our past, present, and if we don't change anything, our future. This is our population broken down into 5-year age cohorts. And what it shows is something that a lot of us know anecdotally, which is simply that we are a young community dominated primarily by a large university force. And we thin out at the young professional age, the upwardly mobile age where people have the room and ability to take risks and start companies. And what we want to do is move the needle on that young professional class. We want to create a more vibrant and robust professional class. And we do that through attracting new people to this community and retaining people who otherwise would leave. And so I have two examples of that. And Enrique here is an example of attraction. Enrique grew up in Atlanta, in Georgia, and he went to an art school in Atlanta. He's a very talented UX designer and graphic designer. And he chose, after he graduated, to move to Tallahassee from Atlanta to work on a startup. He now works in Midtown at the old fire station for a company that just last year, when we opened Domi, was 3 people and is now 7 people in Midtown. And when I talked to him about why he did it, he said, frankly, I feel like the place chose me, that he didn't really have much choice in the matter, and I think that's pretty cool. The second example that I have is Emily. And Emily is an example of retention. She was trained at Florida State in computer science. So as a community, we have invested time and energy and effort into her education and her future. And she turned down multiple offers from places like Google, Facebook, companies we all know. And she decided to build a software development company here in Tallahassee. That company now has 3 people who work out of Domi. And when I talked to her about why, trying to dig down deep, she said that she felt like this community, as we're seeing here tonight, is sort of at a unique time in its history. It's at a really cool moment in history where she felt that has the right mix of passion and potential that she could build a rocket ship and take it, into the future. So my takeaway for everyone here tonight is, if you see something that's missing in the community, whether it's Frenchtown or elsewhere, build it. Go do it. Don't get started tomorrow. Get started today. And if you need a little help getting started, places like Domi are there to assist you, as are many other entrepreneurial resources in town. So I thank you. I'm going to end a little early so that all of us have more time to get more things done.
Well done. Thanks, Lucas.
Gary, if you don't mind, I just have an unrehearsed and unscripted announcement for everybody. My name is Brian Armstrong, and I'm co-chair of the Tallahassee Village Square, together with Brian DeLoge, our commissioner, and an incoming co-chair, Steve Seibert, who I hope you all know. In her humility, Liz did mention something. How many people are familiar with Leadership Florida? Have you heard about Leadership Florida? Yeah, every year they pick a class. It's top elected officials, it's top business leaders, it's education officials. And Leadership Florida gives an award every year. And again, out of her humility, Liz Joyner didn't mention this to you all, but I really think it's important you all hear this, but Leadership Florida has given Tallahassee Village Square the Statewide Impact Award this year.
There you go.
You know, and real quick, you know, it's programs like this that have achieved that award, but it's really because people like you are interested enough to come out to these programs that has made the award available to us. So again, Liz mentioned we have Salt Lake City. We have three groups now in California, one which is well on its way, two of them in their infancy. We have Kansas City working, and it's all because of what Liz, as one of the founding people of Village Square here, her idea brought this thing to fruition. But please continue to come to the Village Squares, continue to spread the word about Village Squares, because we want to see civil communication like this going on elsewhere as well. So thanks again for coming.
You got 10 more seconds. You don't want the time? All right. Okay, you're taking it. Nick Williams from Access Tallahassee. There's a lot of Access folks here. Nick is Nick's over at the Chamber. And Amanda Morrison, who also is working with Access at the Chamber, but you know her from Madison Social. You guys are here to talk about the top things that retain people in Tallahassee, the things that make people want to stay. I mean, I think we probably all have our own list, but let's see yours.
We've got it. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Morrison. I am the Director of Social Connections at Madison Social in Collegetown, and I'm also a chair of one of the Access Tallahassee Leads groups. And excuse us, we've got our young professional note cards here, so we're just going to read a few notes, and then Nick's going to take it over.
Yeah, like you said, I'm Nick Williams. I work at the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Council. Director of Communications over there. We are using the latest mini iPad minis for our presentation. So what we're going to dive into, and Lucas brings up a good point, is the young professional dilemma. So are people going to a community based on a job, or are they going based on the community itself? And so research has shown that one of the biggest, if not the most important thing to young professionals and millennials is that quality of life. So Tallahassee has a lot of young professionals, as he just showed with that graph. A lot of those are college students. Fortunately, we're home to about 70,000 plus college students every year. What are they going to do after that 4 years is over? Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? Some of them were probably glad they do go home, but some of them were glad that they do stay here.
So having a career is a big decision when you are making that choice as a young professional about where your next steps are. We all just heard Lucas's great presentation about DOMI, but we have resources like DOMI, an innovation district, and the Made in Tallahassee program that Donnie spoke about earlier. So those opportunities are out there. It's just raising awareness and how do you connect people with them. In addition to our four-year university programs, we've got really great things happening out at TCC, bringing places like Flagler and Embry-Riddle and St. Leo under one roof to really train a skilled workforce that has some other options than a four-year career path that gets people into the workforce quicker. You've got companies in town locally. We've got pictures of Bow Stern and the DOMI offices up here that are building creative work environments that entice young professionals. We grew up in the age of group projects, so we want to sit together and play putt-putt and in between working, not just sit in an office all day. So it's really a private and public collaboration to get them here.
So part of, we see this going on in town, and we'll hear about it more tonight, but it's the defining of the districts throughout town. So you kind of have your college town area, you have your midtown area, you have your uptown, your downtown. We're not going to break out into song about it, but you see these districts really catering to young professionals, not only in the businesses that are those flagship stores that are there, but the ancillary other stores that are coming to those
and
areas.
A lot of them are led by young leaders. You have young, excited, enthusiastic people at the helm of these companies, at Proof and at Madison Social and at Grasslands, and they're building the places that they want to hang out at, and I think that's a real credit to the young talent in town. Arts and culture. We had, growing the arts and culture scene here. We've had some really great performances out at Cascades Park. The Avett Brothers and Wilco performed recently. We've got people like Audra Pittman, Hey Girl, and Chris Heacox with opening nights, bringing young enthusiasm and energy and trying to change the face of these established organizations in the arts and cultures community.
So we all know that Tallahassee is a great outdoor scene, Trailahassee, those kind of things. Last year alone and this year, I think, coming up, there's over 115 5K races. So if you're not doing one, you're doing something wrong. But we all know that the Parks and Rec class are here, but it's getting students and that talent off of Tennessee Street, getting them plugged into those areas.
Planning for the future, again, we're a collaborative generation, so people want to give back and are very service-oriented. For nonprofits, young talent is hugely important because right now in their careers, they have time and energy, and they can actually physically do things for you. But what you're doing long-term is grooming your donor and your financial supporter for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. So building better boards is something that a lot of nonprofits have been doing, Big Brothers Big Sisters being a great example of focusing on finding young people and grooming them for board positions to really be the future of their organizations and carry them through the next couple of decades. I'm going to take a second. My goodness.
We can breathe for a second. Why are we up here representing Access Tallahassee? Access Tallahassee is the Chamber's young professional organization. We have over 300 members ranging from college students all the way up to people that are young at heart. And these are individuals that join the Chamber, join Access Tallahassee, and get plugged in. And it's an amazing resource that we have here in town to keep that talent here and really talk about those things that Lucas was talking about and keeping them plugged in.
And I'm going to go one slide more. I just want to give, since Nick can't do it as a Chamber employee. It's just encouraging. I see it, and I get to see it a lot in my everyday life of real collaboration between public and private sector. We've got the Chamber making a conscious decision that they want to build a program that is useful to people under 40 and helping them in their careers. We've got elected officials that are really committed to this push to make Tallahassee a great place, and we've got Downtown Improvement Authority and the CRA actually building these places for us. It's a really exciting time to be in Tallahassee, and we look forward to the next decade.
Good job, guys. How cool is it to see that kind of energy in the community? And it just even the last few presentations where we've really seen kind of some bright lights that are kind of leading the way into where we're heading. I'm going to ask these next four folks to come up on to join us up here. Brian Hickey. Who's with TDC, Division of Tourism and Development, Megan Doherty from the Planning Department, TJ Lewis from Urban Tallahassee, and Autumn Calder from Blueprint Tallahassee. We are going to be talking now for just a couple minutes. We're calling this part the green and the gray. This is a diversity of topics from ecotourism to green spaces to trails to development. We'll touch on that West Tennessee issue. You would never find all these topics in the same place unless you had something to do with Village Square. And that's why we want to make sure that you folks understand kind of the unique relationship that's happening here tonight. So great to have you guys up here. Let's just start with each of you kind of giving your perspective on your area and how it relates to this whole discussion. You want to start?
You want to start with me? Sure. I'm TJ Lewis, everyone, with Urban Tallahassee. I guess you got me here talking about the gray.
Yeah, you can talk gray.
I'm going to talk about all of it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen these guys' website, you really want to find out what's going on in Urban Tallahassee. Great website. Super website.
Okay. I'll be talking about it a little bit later, too.
Okay, good.
As it relates to the gray, as he says, I focus on growth of the Tallahassee area, specifically the city of Tallahassee. But I'm very interested in the green and the blue as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't talk about the blue. The blue is the water. I was talking about you about that earlier. So you'll hear me talk about the gray. I think our city is growing in the most ideal way that a city like this can grow. We're growing inward. We're redeveloping a lot of our old, underutilized properties. It's the type of growth that actually helps the community, doesn't strain the community, because we are not expanding our boundaries and stretching our roads and stretching our resources. So you'll hear me hit on that theme a lot tonight.
Yeah, let's just go right down the line.
Thank you. Much more comfortable seat.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
I know. Well, it's what we do.
My name is Autumn Calder, and I work for Blueprint 2000, which is the agency that implements your penny sales tax. We're funded for 15 years, and you guys just re-upped us another 20 years. So starting in 2020, we're going to do another huge list of great projects in our community. So how do I relate to this discussion? Well, we're the vision for the next 25 years. So not just looking in tomorrow, but looking 25 years down the road.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for being here. My name is Megan Doherty with your Tallahassee Leon County Planning Department. And I'd like to say that I have one of the most fun jobs, I think, anywhere around. The Planning Department deals with a wide variety of topics, everything from everyday zoning and site plan issues, learning to see what's getting to see firsthand what's coming into the community, although sometimes I do have to check with TJ to find out exactly what businesses are moving into those buildings that I see, to everything from bicycle and pedestrian and trail planning, you know, doing cool things like help plan the new wayfinding system that's going to be coming to town shortly, I think starting in our downtown area. But most importantly, I get to help make Tallahassee be the place that I want to live and make my community better. So that's all I have to say right now.
Well, I would almost argue with you that you have the best job, because I believe I do. Good afternoon. My name is Brian Hickey. I'm the Director of Sports for Leon County Division of Tourism Development, or Visit Tallahassee. Specifically, I go out and promote sporting events in our community and bring them back so that they may bring visitors to stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, and shop in our shops and all that fun stuff. So we are funded specifically through the hotel bed tax and not through any general revenue. So all those dollars that we go out and grant to these sporting events to bring them back are basically one big cycle. So visitors come in, stay in the hotels, and then we get to take that money and go out and bring more visitors back. So,
Brian, let's start with you. I want to talk about room rates.
Yeah, sure.
No. Brian and I talked earlier in the week. He said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, let's keep it at 40,000 feet because we really need to know kind of what the TDC is doing. I said, under no circumstances am I going to ask you a question like room rates. So I just want to see the look on his face. I don't think a lot of folks are really connected with Visit Tallahassee, because really you're talking to the universe outside Tallahassee. Make that relationship for us in sports marketing and in the other kind of venues that you're using to, and I know ecotourism is a big part of that, that you're promoting to fill those beds.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. Our market is not the residents of Leon County. Our market is the visitors that will come and stay with us. Now, what the residents are still a very important part, because a lot of our visitors come to visit friends and family. So we do have a program, tour guide program, there. We work with local attractions that bring those, open their doors for free, so the local residents may play a part and learn about our local attractions, so that when they do have visitors that they can bring them in and invite them to participate in those great things. But yes, our market is outside the community. Specifically, one of the projects that we just brought on, Leon County partnered with Gulf Winds Track Club, Florida State Athletics, Leon County Parks and Rec, and Leon County Division of Tourism Development. All four of those got together and developed a cross-country course at Appalachia Regional Park, right next to the solid waste facility, or the dump. So over 5 years ago, we started cutting down limbs to break path through the woods. Over $250,000 worth of development later in 5 years, we're hosting between four and eight cross-country events a year. Last year, we had 5,000 competitors, over 10,000 visitors, and $3 million worth of new dollars back to our community just in cross-country. So
that will have to be the last word for the broadcast portion of our program tonight. This was recorded live at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee. The Village Square is committed to civil and constructive public dialogue on the issues that matter to our community, our state, and our nation. Find the remainder of tonight's conversation online at tothevillagesquare.org. Thank you for joining us, and good night.
Join us again next time for another visit to the Village Square on WFSU-FM.